The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. Jeffrey, anything happened yesterday in the news that we should know about? Anything? Any sport? No?
Conference games are very interesting now in the Big Ten.
It is. What a day of sports news. We will talk college football with Chris Felica, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. He will join us not only to talk about the huge news that will change the landscape of college football perhaps forever. We'll talk to him about that. We will also get three more season win totals from Chris as well. While we have him here, might as well talk some betting. It is a bit of an underfest today. Three unders in terms of the season win totals. But we'll talk to him about the big shift. Are we allowed to say seismic shift again? From USC and UCLA on their way to the Big Ten as of 2024. We'll talk to him about that. Vinny Maliulo always on a Friday. We'll talk to Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. But we begin with the biggest news of the day. Well, actually, let's do the tennis. We got to get the tennis out of the way. Wimbledon, for those who ask, at Beating the Book. And we put this in the newsletter. I give these out overnight to anybody who wants them. We had two plays in tennis during the fortnight. That is Wimbledon, tennis's third major, the grass, of course, major, at the All England Club there in London. We already had a winner this morning, Julie Niemeyer. She took down Leslie Azarenka. We were on Azarenka yesterday or the day before. I believe it was the day before. We got a win there. Now we faded her. We got a win with Niemeyer. So in what has been a choppy first week at Wimbledon, where we're just kind of spinning our wheels, less than two units down here in the first 5 days? We have one more play today, over 37.5 games on Carlitos Alcaraz, Charlie Alcaraz against Oscar Otte. Some people were asking, would I play over 38.5? That's where it moved to. I would as well. So that's a little later on this morning. Alcaraz, Otte, over. The only one remaining as we try to get a clean sheet on this Friday at Wimbledon. Now, of course, the biggest news, once we get that out of the way. Biggest news yesterday, NBA free agency beginning, and so everybody was ready for that. But then, well, in the morning, something that we talked about Tuesday actually came to pass. Here's us real briefly, Tuesday morning. So Kyrie is staying. Now, it is assumed, you know what they say about assuming, again, might cause you to regret something. To regret. That KD will stay now because his buddy Kyrie is staying, which is what KD probably wanted all along. But I don't know. Would it be completely shocking if KD later today was like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. And enough of this and out of here he was. That's exactly what happened. KD was like, I'm done with this. And so with that news and with the knowledge, the reporting, Adrian Wojnarowski, the first on this, with the knowledge that KD also was focused in on Phoenix and Miami as his preferred destinations. So the two-time NBA champion, Kevin Durant, two-time finals MVP, says, I've had enough of Brooklyn, wants to go to Phoenix and Miami, and here's the real difference in his situation as opposed to sort of anybody else who's ever done this, requesting a trade. He's got 4 years and a no-trade clause on his contract. So not only are you getting one of the greatest players of all time, but you're getting him for 4 years. He's 34 years old, KD. In his prime still, tail end perhaps of his prime, but in his prime, obviously coming off major injury in the Achilles, but we've seen nothing in his game for us to think that there's any drop-off at this point. 3-4 years down the road, maybe a different story. So with the knowledge that the Suns and Heat were his first choices, immediately sportsbooks reacted to making, you know, dropping the Suns to win the NBA title, changing the Heat's number into single digits. But really, it was sort of a knee-jerk reaction to what may not actually transpire. Right now, here it is at BetMGM. Suns plus 550 with that news. Bucks, who made some moves, which we'll talk about later, 6-1. Celtics plus 650. Defending champion Dubs plus 650. Clippers, who do have John Wall now, plus 650. And there are your Heat, the aforementioned Heat at 9-1. But here's the thing. And by the way, great job done by Bobby Marks over at ESPN. Can we give Bobby Marks a shout-out yesterday? He was great. ESPN's NBA front office insider, who did such a great job breaking down what teams might, you know, could or could possibly not offer in a prospective KD trade. And remember, all this, the biggest comp to this is Paul George went from OKC to the Clippers for 5 first-rounders, 2 pick swaps, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari, that in the OKC Clippers trade a few years back. This not only could, but should exceed that. But let's talk about Phoenix and Miami and those moves in the betting market. Well, here's the thing. If you're Brooklyn, your first reaction would be like, well, we want Devin Booker back in this trade. Well, the Suns were expected to and did sign Devin Booker to a Supermax extension. And so he is ineligible for this trade. That can't happen. So if you're Brooklyn, they are under no obligation to meet KD's preferred destinations in this trade. They're going to make it work for them. And so if you're the Suns, what can you really offer? You can offer DeAndre Ayton to sign a trade, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. They do have all their draft picks. But remember, the DeAndre Ayton thing is, the Nets just signed Nick Claxton to a deal. So if you're the Brooklyn Nets, and Jeff, I'll point this to you, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, do you want that package from the Suns? I don't.
No, I definitely don't want that package from the Suns. And I like DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
And I like Mikal Bridges. But that's not good enough for Kevin Durant. And by the way, Gil, he does not have a no trade here. That's what makes this so interesting.
That's what I said at the top.
Yeah.
No trade.
No trade. So the Nets don't have to send him where he wants to go. They can do whatever they want. Gil, I want to throw this out at you because yesterday the NBA trade machine became a fun thing for everybody. The one thing, and this wasn't one, I think it was Zach Lowe who wrote it yesterday at ESPN. If you're the Nets, don't you call up New Orleans?
Well, hold on. You're getting way ahead of ourselves. We're doing this in a linear fashion.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll go through this.
Get to mine in a little bit.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. The other team that KD mentioned was the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat, and again, shout out to Bobby Marks on this. You're like, okay, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, we just talked about Phoenix as one of his preferred destinations, why that might not be, you know, sexy enough for the Brooklyn Nets. What about Miami? Well, they cannot, as currently constituted, cannot include Bam Adebayo. The Heat could not include Bam Adebayo in a prospective deal because of something called the designated rookie extension. Ben Simmons signed one of those when he was with Philadelphia. You can have two of those designated players on your roster. You just can't have them via trade. You can't have more than one via trade, which Ben Simmons already traded to Brooklyn, so you couldn't do it with Bam Adebayo. If Bam Adebayo was going to come over in a deal, then they would have to get rid of Ben Simmons. And you're like, well, get rid of Ben Simmons. But let me just say, even if that didn't exist, would a package of Bam, listen, you try to get young players, you're not going to want Kyle Lowry. Jimmy Butler's probably not going to be part of the deal. Even if you were able to get Bam in that deal and you scuttled Ben Simmons, would Bam and Tyler Hero and Max Strus be enough for you if you're Brooklyn? I don't think so.
It's better than what Phoenix is giving me.
Still.
Wouldn't take it.
Now let's get to what you were talking about, young Jeffrey. Who does have the most alluring group of players to the Brooklyn Nets front office? Hypothetically. Let's talk about New Orleans. The Pelicans have a decision to make with Zion Williamson. Do they sign him to a rookie extension? If they do, and that decision could come at any moment, then this becomes a little less likely. But if they decide not to, Zion Williamson, in a package that could include Jonas Valanciunas, Herb Jones, obviously Brandon Ingram would be the other player where you'd be like, well, if not Zion, what about Brandon Ingram? Now, would that be a package that might interest you, to use the old entourage phrase for Martin Landau?
So let's start with the Ingram thing before going to Zion.
He was talking about NBA trades when he said that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure about that. If I'm the Nets, Brandon Ingram, Jackson Hayes, and four first-round picks that New Orleans, by the way, have over the next three drafts, that would be something I'd be willing to listen to. Because Brandon Ingram is basically a lighter version of Kevin Durant, who I think can be a top 15 player in the league over the next three, 4 years.
You would do it for Ingram and not for Zion?
I would absolutely consider it.
Yep.
But with Zion, the interesting thing is if you don't give him the rookie extension, there are a lot of ways to get the money to work. I know they just traded a bunch of assets for CJ McCollum, but if you're the Nets, a package of Zion, McCollum, and maybe two first-round picks, maybe three for Durant, the money works out. I checked that out yesterday. Money works. That would be something I'd be willing to do.
Money would be tough for the Heat, by the way, also in a Heat trade. Money would be tough.
Money's really difficult with Miami, yes.
Besides New Orleans, Toronto, Scotty Barnes, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., they have all their draft picks, some package, some combination of those players.
Yeah, that could work. The other one that I thought of was the Clippers. There are players out there that could work, but that would work more for a Kyrie Irving deal than a Durant deal.
Well, here's the punchline of all of it. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but Zach Lowe said, you know what? The team that actually has the best package in the entire NBA, the Golden State Warriors. Some combination of Andrew Wiggins, who, by the way, also has the designated rookie extension, so you have to work that out. But some combination of Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman, they got a bunch of first-round picks as well. Could you imagine? I could not, but I'm just throwing it out there. All of this should inform what you bet if you bet on NBA futures, because I don't think the Suns or the Heat are slam dunks at all. Chris Velika on college football next.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds, then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Jeff. And just as we're going through that segment, remember I said about New Orleans, if New Orleans decides to extend Zion to a rookie extension deal, then the whole Zion talk goes out the window for New Orleans, and then the only potential package would include Brandon Ingram, and in fact, they have decided to sign him. What are the details?
Yeah, the five-year rookie extension worth up to $231 million, which is a lot of money for a guy who can't stay healthy. But that does change it, obviously. Changes the scenario that we just said. And again, if you're the Nets and New Orleans would be the place you could still call, because Brandon Ingram is still available.
Well, yep, Zion would be out of the deal. And, you know, if you're Brooklyn, you have to decide, would that be okay? Brandon Ingram and not Zion Williamson, if you end up talking to New Orleans. But New Orleans, Toronto, Golden State, it's hard to find packages that work. Because as we documented, Phoenix and Miami, KD's preferred destinations, probably don't. By the way, some other teams that were sort of thrown out there, like, give me a wild card. Scott Van Pelt asked this of Bobby Marks. He goes, how about the Washington Wizards? By the way, I say this for my friends at the DMV, because we've been through this with KD returns home. Remember that a few years back? Some package of Porzingis and Barton and Morris, now that Bradley Beal has signed the Supermax extension. It's not going to happen. But wouldn't that be something? And then teams that, like, no, it just can't happen. New York, there's no way that Brooklyn's going to send KD to the Knicks. And then Memphis, you know, you keep Ja, the money doesn't work out. Like, you could send all of your other players over to Brooklyn, and it doesn't, the salary match doesn't happen. So Memphis would be sort of out of the sweepstakes by sort of arithmetic. So it's tough. What were you going to say, Jeff? Anything? No, you were leaning in. All right. Well, the other big story in sports yesterday, and we will get to some season win totals here from Chris momentarily, but obviously had to do with UCLA and USC bolting for the Big Ten. As of August of 2024, that's going to be the case. A seismic shift in college football. By the way, the migration, to be exact, will begin on August 2nd, 2024, and include all sports except beach volleyball, because I'm told there's no beaches in the Big Ten. Men's volleyball, men's and women's water polo. Those are the only exceptions. Chris Felica joins us from ESPN, College Game Day, Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and, of course, Daily Wager. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm okay. In my favorite part of all the whole NBA free agency, which, by the way, isn't in trade, isn't it great that, like, it starts, like, July 1st, or June 30th at 5 o'clock, and by, like, 6 o'clock, everything's done? It's amazing how that happens. In an hour, all this stuff comes to fruition. Isn't it wild like that?
It's almost as if they've talked before.
I imagine that. But my second favorite thing, and I'm going to give you my my radio sports talk call-in voice now. It's like, well, what if the Heat give him Josh McRoberts, Luol Deng, and Harold Miner, and two picks?
Yes.
I think that'd be enough for Durant. It's like all the ridiculous packages out there. Yeah. Why don't you take my crap and give me Kevin
exactly
Durant?
That's the always the funniest thing about this. Like, you realize that they know basketball too, right? They're not taking your crap. You're gonna have to put together something. That's why, like, the Phoenix thing is like, no, they want Devin Booker. Like, the rest of it sounds kind of lame. Okay, so this happens in college football yesterday, and I want to get into to where this could go, and then we'll get your season wins. But I just want, you know, I say that the five best things that ESPN always does, I will say this on the show, 30 for 30s, College Game Day, right at the top, right? SVPs, you know, one big thing at the end of every show, consistently great. Anytime Malika's on, number four. And number five, which I think is the most underrated thing that ESPN has ever done, is when you and your college football brethren did the 150-year anniversary docu-series, if you will, which I thought was just such a great love letter to the sport that we all love in college football and the pageantry and the tradition and what it means to Americana, let alone sports. And I'm trying to wax prosaically about it because that's how it came across. You guys love college football, and it came across the screen, and it just gives me chills thinking about it. It was that good. And now we have this, Chris. Doesn't this, like, isn't there a part of you now that's like, and I get it, progress is going to happen, there's nothing we can do about it, but I just want to get your sense of how do you feel as a lifelong college football fan after hearing this?
I'm a traditionalist, and I appreciate the nice words about those CFB 150 things. Those were a lot of fun to research and help work on and be an interview subject and throw stuff around with a bunch of people. We came to like seven or eight of those roundtables in a day, and it was so much fun to hang and be around everybody. But I mean, as a traditional, I mean, I obviously don't like it. There's a part of me that loves the traditions of college football and what January 1st used to mean, and geographically accurate conferences and rivals, and you didn't have unbalanced schedules. But this is going to just be the beginning. I mean, college football fans need to kind of remember what they had growing up and in the past, even last decade or so, and now realize that we're changing, and whether you like it or not, this is certainly the road that we're headed down.
Your colleague and friend Kirk Herbstreit said, by the way, the famous quote that Heather Dinich passed along yesterday was, the Pac-12 got soonered and horned, I believe was the comment, a reference to Oklahoma and Texas heading over to the SEC. Kirk believes that it's going to end up with two huge basic conferences, right? Like akin to the AFC and the NFC, for lack of a better term, two huge conferences with like three divisions and 58 teams entirely. Do you believe that's where we're headed?
Yeah, I think it is, and it's probably going to be something that might not even be affiliated with the NCAA anymore. I mean, you might have this, your own self-governing body, and they'll get involved in things like officiating and NIL and paying players. Now you might be in a situation where maybe players just get paid a salary, and the NIL stuff becomes like a performance-based bonus where you're allowed to get these endorsements and such, because right now that was the initial intent of NIL, and it's turned into this ridiculous buying players through recruiting, and it's a joke. It's awful. I mean, if you want to pay a player based on their their production and how recognized they are to school. That's fine, but what it's become now is laughable. But yeah, I think Kirk is right. You're going to have basically a Big Ten-centric type AFC, for the lack of a better word. It's an SEC-type-centric NFC, and you're going to have a couple of divisions within there, and that's how they'll overcome like the unbalanced schedule type deal where you just play your division. So, I don't necessarily love it, but, I mean, if that's going to help some of the other issues in the sport right now, I mean, maybe they find out some. But yeah, I think we're definitely headed towards like an even greater haves and have-nots. I mean, it brings it to like what does that mean for a – I'm just going to throw a team out there like Iowa State. Like, is the Big 12 still going to exist? If it doesn't, like Iowa State's a team that's got a pretty solid basketball program, great, some really good Olympic sports, solid football team, but they're not a very marquee type draw. They're not a TV market. On the other hand, you got a team like Stanford. Like, dude, where do they fit into this? Great academics, San Francisco Bay Area media market, but not a ton of fan support. Like, they would just kind of fit into the Big Ten in terms of, like, what they want. Like, does the Big Ten go after a team like that? But even knowing that the fan support isn't that great, but it fits their academic and their Olympic sport type model. So, yeah, we're not done. We'll see if Notre Dame is the next big one to fall. Like, it's funny, too, because the ACC just released this, like, I guess, like scheduling, like, common opponent, like 2 days ago. And, like, well, what does that mean right now anymore either? Because, I mean, I'd be shocked if the SEC didn't like go or approach Clemson, Miami, and Florida State, and maybe some other schools. Like, hey, why don't you get ahead of the curve and don't be left out? So it's just the beginning, but I think definitely knowing Kirk, the people that he's spoken to are pretty dialed in, and he has a great relationship. So if he's saying that, I would certainly read a lot into it.
And the last 30 seconds on this, the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, you alluded to January 1st. Like, what happens with that now?
It's funny. I think there was a quote in on Nicole Auerbach's story of The Athletic. Like, yeah, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 always, in the Rose Bowl, were always kind of blocking the playoff progress and at the sanctity of the Rose Bowl. And now they basically nuked the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, January, the morning of January 1st, the Rose Bowl is one of my favorite days on the calendar, and I'm sure the Rose Bowl will exist, but obviously it's going to be a little bit different now with the future of the Pac-12.
It's fascinating. Changing the entire landscape right before our eyes, and it's headed in one direction. Nothing we could do about it. Season win totes, three of them from Chris, next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Chris Felica, kind enough to join us for another segment from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C. Obviously, we're talking about the huge shift in the college football landscape that's coming up here in just a couple seasons. And Notre Dame, obviously, the big fish out there. Will they go to the SEC? Will they go to the Big Ten? Will they remain, you know, unto themselves? I do want to say this, Chris. If it ends up being three, right, if it ends up being the Big Ten, the SEC, and then everyone else, I am proposing the everyone else be called the Fakakta League. And I'm curious if that will play if that will play in Lubbock and Stillwater. What do you think? Is that going to work out? Or no.
I'll bring it up to some management at ESPN, and then when they have their big meetings with the other networks,
please.
And we'll see if we can get that license for you.
I will never have been prouder if that happens. All right, so we have an Underfest. You've been kind enough to come on and give us some totals already for the upcoming college football season. You have three. They are all unders today. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, well, under. Why? Shock there, right? I mean, everyone loves their team. Everyone's going over, right? Yeah, not really. I may as well start with the conference that was in the news yesterday with the Pac-12 and Stanford. Their total is 4.5, and wow, that's going to be hard to win 5 games, isn't it? I think you look at the cards, and I don't think people realize how bad they were last year. I mean, they were outgained by 149 yards a game, negative 10 in turnover margin. There were only four teams in the country that were outgained by a greater margin than Stanford last year. And those four teams are UConn, UMass, Kansas, and Colorado.
Wasn't their schedule last year entirely comprised of Power Five opponents?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then somehow they beat Oregon and USC and like didn't win like another game after that. But they got McKee coming back and they got a bunch of guys back on the offense, but their offensive line was so bad. Offensively, they've been really bad. I mean, the intellectual brutality that made them so great with the big front, like they've got, whether it's recruiting or whatever, they've gotten away with that. And now they're going to try and create this new edge-type position and get more athletic, but I don't know if that's going to work with the guys they have. They've been pretty predictable. I think David Shaw's left a lot of guys off that staff. I don't know. I think this is a stock that you certainly don't want to be holding. And I don't know if it hasn't already bottomed out. I think it's on the way to bottoming out. And there's a chance that they may not win a road game. Their road games are Washington, Oregon, Notre Dame, UCLA, Utah, and Cal. Oof. Like if they get to 5 and beat me, congratulations.
Well, the big thing, just at the glance, is they miss Arizona and Colorado, right, from the South. Like, they don't get either of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how it's weighted in that direction, meaning they do have to deal with Utah and USC and Arizona State, UCLA, right? And you, as you point out, Utah, UCLA, both on the road. So, yeah, 4.5 under for the Stanford Cardinal. You mean David Shaw can't coach him away from that? Huh? No. I don't think so.
I think there's like the secret group of people that are just wishing that Stanford does go to the Big Ten because they want an annual Shaw versus Ferentz 4th-and-2 from the 41. Let's punt. They want that to be going on an annual game like that.
All right, David Shaw.
We're going to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and the Cardinal under 4.5 on Stanford for all the reasons stated. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the other conference in the news, the Big Ten, Indiana, I was a solid under on last year, and they went winless from the Big Ten and were one of the worst teams in the country. And you look at their schedule again this year, and there's a really good chance they may not win another Big Ten game this year. There's 4.5s to be had out there as well. The team with a quarterback issue, and Connor Bazelak comes in. Obviously, Parlay is familiar with him from his work at Missouri. It's a team that loses McFadden, who was their best player on the defense last year. Their entire front seven is essentially new. Running back, basically all their skill guys are essentially new. And this is a team that, in the COVID year, they won some close games, and people were excited. They're on the up and up. You had Tom Allen with his Love Each Other, and it was great, a great story. And then reality set in last year, and I think it's going to be another very rough year Indiana, who you got non-conference games against Western Kentucky and Cincinnati, and certainly neither of those are locks to be won. I mean, they'll probably be a significant underdog in Cincinnati. So, I'm under 4.5 on Indiana as well.
I expected you to say that about Stanford, the under. I was a little surprised you said Indiana under. By the way, 4.5 is not available everywhere. It's 4 in most places. Would you still go under at 4?
Yeah, I would. I think 4 is the best case scenario. The 4.5. Can I say where I found the 4.5, or is that not allowed?
No, you're allowed. Go ahead. Yeah, say where.
Yeah. There's 4.5 out there at FanDuel.
Okay.
A little juice to the under, but I found it, and I will happily pay. That's the thing with these win totals. Like, I will happily pay the extra juice to get half a game or a game if it's so significant. When you're only dealing with 12 regular season games.
Yeah.
So I'd rather lay a little bit more. I don't think they're going to get to 5. I'd rather pay the extra juice, win on 4, than pay less juice and push on 4. That's how I switch things.
I hear you on that. The reason I was a little more surprised with Indiana is if you, again, we all do the cursory glances of the schedule and try to suss this out. You know, we just talked about how Stanford got all the breaks, got all the breaks go against them in terms of not having, sort of gimme wins. Indiana, there's no Northwestern. They miss Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota as well, and yet you're still going under, right? They East, like, what's it?
Yeah, Michigan. That's a net plus.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's a net plus. But the fact that they're in the East is what kills them. I mean, you're playing Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State, and Maryland's going to be better this year as well. And Greg Schiano, I think, will have Rutgers better this year. Like, just where they are is just a bad thing.
Okay, and one more here. What do you got?
I don't love this one as much, but I think 7 is a probably a best case type scenario for Utah State. I think last year was kind of a perfect storm for the Aggies. A new head coach, a new offense that the league really wasn't very familiar with. Blake Anderson brought in his quarterback, Logan Bonner, from Arkansas State, and they scored a bunch of points, surprised some people. But at the same time, no team in the country had more comeback with more wins in games that they trailed at halftime than Utah State. So that doesn't necessarily seem like something that is sustainable. You're looking at a team that even last year, as good as everything went, they still got blown out by Boise State and BYU at home, and now you've got to go to both places this year. You pick up a non-conference game instead of against Washington State, now you've got to go to Tuscaloosa. That's a loss. And as bad as UNLV and Colorado State were last year, those were close wins. Those were 4-point and 2-point wins for Utah State. So I think there are some reasons here to be a little bit skeptical of Utah State being able to either match what they did last year or improve and exceed a win total. Could they go 8-4 and beat me? Sure. This might be one of those where I'm holding a 7-5 type ticket, and that's fine. But I'm not as high on Utah State this year, being that the Mountain West kind of got there. First, kind of like a pitcher getting their first go through the lineup and the order, and now they know what people are up. Or really the other way around. Like, the batting order gets that first go around against the pitcher, and now they know how to deal with them. I think that's kind of what the Mountain West will have this year with Utah State.
All right, Stanford under 4.5, Utah State under 7.5, Indiana under 4.5. The Underfest on a Friday. Chris, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend.
You are quite welcome. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Chris Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on the Twitter machine. Hey, Jeff, you know what? I didn't wish you a happy Bobby Bonilla day today. July 1st.
Happy deferment day across baseball, yes.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla, who gets $1.193 million today and every July 1st. From 2011 through the year 2035. Remember, he did this because in the year 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on his contract with this deal. Instead of paying that $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to make annual payments of nearly $1.2 million for 25 years from July 1st, 2011, all the way to July 1st of 2035, including a negotiated 8% interest. Remember, at the time, Mets ownership was heavily invested in Bernie Madoff's shenanigans, as it turned out to be. So they were like, it's a good deal for us. Bonilla, by the way, it should be noted, last played for the Mets at 99, last played the majors for the Cardinals in 2001. But again, he'll be paid through 2035 when he'll be 72 years old. He also has a second deferred contract plan with the Mets and Orioles, paying him $500,000 a year for 25 years. Those payments began in 2004. How about that?
There's a lot of fun ones. You know what's a good one right now? The Nationals, starting today for the next 6 years, pay Max Scherzer $15 million a year on July 1st. So the Nats are paying Max Scherzer to pitch for the Mets.
Through
that's
the year
good.
2028. Others with deferred contracts, Brett Saberhagen, Manny Ramirez, Ken Griffey Jr., Todd Helton. What a great deal. Come back. Who won the NBA yesterday? Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get in the octagon with BetMGM and you can win $200 for a $10 wager on the main event showdown in Las Vegas on July 2nd tomorrow. Just use bonus code VSiN200 and if the champ lands a punch in the fight, you'll receive $200 back in free bets. Simply download the app or go to BetMGM.com, then use promo code VSiN200 and bet $10 on the mega fight everyone's been waiting for. If the champ lands a punch in the fight, You'll claim a $200 payday. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Just sort of going back into the NBA stuff that we were talking about. Well, first of all, a couple tennis thoughts. One, again, if you missed it, we had two plays. Again, if you ask me on Twitter at Beating the Book, I'm happy to give you the plays. Julie Niemeyer already hit this morning. Julie Niemeyer did. And only one left to go, the over in the Alcaraz-Ote match. That one, I believe, yet to start as well. So those are the only two plays. Niemeyer already in with a win this morning. As, again, generally speaking with the daily picks, we're just sort of spinning our wheels here in the first 5 days of Wimbledon, which has been fascinating. And, again, the only futures that I had pre-flop, Iga, 9-1, which I got the night of Ash Barty's retirement. She was plus 150-ish as on the eve of the tournament starting. So that was just a number that's way gone. And then Rafa Nadal, I took after the draw, because the draw, I believed, was so favorable to him at plus 725, figuring, well, I think we could see a Djokovic-Nadal final. Do I expect him to beat Djokovic? No, but that's why it's plus 725, but I'd love to have that number that day. So far, that's what it looks like. Anyway, Djokovic is murdering everybody in front of him. I did think about, by the way, he bageled Miomir Kecmanovic here in the first set. So he's up a set on Kecmanovic. He will play, if Djokovic advances here, he'll play Tim Van Righthoven, who I looked at yesterday, Jeff, and I was like, he's 80-1. Tim Van Righthoven, again, for people who don't know, is a player who won a grass court tournament in the Netherlands, his home country, a couple weeks ago. We talked about it here on the show. He had played, I believe, entirely in his career in like 9 tour-level matches in his entire life. And he goes and wins a grass court tournament and beats along the way Ogier Aliassime, Medvedev in the final, Taylor Fritz along the way. And you're like, how is this possible? We only have one planet, right? Earth. We don't know of any tennis players anywhere else, correct, Jeff? Am I right in that?
To our knowledge, we don't.
Okay. So he's walking this Earth. And he can essentially come out of nowhere and do that. I didn't pull the trigger on it. He does have Djokovic. But I will tell you this. If he somehow, and he's a serve bot, so anything can happen. If he beats Djokovic, all bets are off. And if he, I just don't want to go there. I was about to say, if he wins Wimbledon, we should just all hang it up. I did take an 80-1 flyer on Qinwen Zhang on the lady side, just to have it. I'm all about Iga. Iga, who won her 37th consecutive match yesterday, did drop a set. That was newsworthy. She's won 56 of her last 59 sets. Dropped one yesterday. But, you know, again, as I've said from the beginning with Iga on the grass, way more confident in the U.S. Open on hard courts. Grass, she's never won a grass tournament, so you never know. Hope Iga gets home, but just let you know I added that. All right, back to the NBA then for a second. We talked about how the odds shifted very quickly, both on futures towards the Suns now as the short shot and the Miami Heat into single digits, because those are the two preferred destinations of Kevin Durant. But we went through it extensively the first couple segments of this show as to why that probably, I don't know if it works out trade-wise for the Brooklyn Nets, for all the reasons that we stated. And there was also some markets about what will KD's next team be, and the Suns and the Heat were the short shots, and I don't think sportsbooks understood the implications of whether those trades would work out or not. You don't find those up anymore. They were up briefly. So just so I want to get to Jeff, the question of what team won yesterday and did it move the needle for you on futures odds? But before that, just a couple more observations. One, which is, imagine a couple scenarios. One, had Devin Booker not been signed to the Supermax and had he been part of a deal, just work with me, you would have had Simmons and Booker on the same team, both of whom had Kendall Jenner as a girlfriend. That would have been awkward. And then all this talk about Kyrie going to the Lakers in a Westbrook deal. Could you imagine a team with Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook on the brick fest that would be?
So as my good friend Alex Schiffer, who covers the Nets
yes.
for The Athletic, I talked to him last night. He basically said not only John Wooden couldn't even create an offense could salvage a Westbrook and Simmons combination on the court.
God,
that's how bad that would be if that somehow
would
happened.
Be horrific. You just think about it. This is all Kyrie's doing. All of this.
Oh, 100%, yes.
All of this is Kyrie's doing. And again, I'm not making a political statement here. Okay, let me just preface it by saying it this. But this is just a fact that this past NBA season can come down, if you really want to put it through one lens, can come down to the fact that one dude decided not to get a vaccine and another dude did. And what I'm talking about is Kyrie Irving decided I'm not getting vaccinated, didn't play all those games at home for Brooklyn. I get it, stupid rule, but those were the rules at the time. That team just didn't have enough reps with each other, ends up getting swept in the postseason by the Celtics. He decided, I'm not getting the vaccination, and those were the ramifications. Meanwhile, to quote the great Ron Flatter, meanwhile, Andrew Wiggins out in Golden State didn't want to get the vaccine either. But you know what he did? Because he wouldn't have been able to play at home either. You know what he did? He got it for the team. Who was like the key player besides Steph Curry in the postseason for the Warriors? Andrew Wiggins. There's your NBA season in a nutshell. It's not a political statement. It's just a fact. All that said, Jeff, and KD just sort of dominated the news yesterday. Once he decided he wanted to get traded, it was like everything else was secondary. But beyond KD, who won yesterday? Sixers got their man in P.J. Tucker after Joel Embiid talked him up in most of the most bizarre fashion this entire... Oh, P.J. Tucker's so good. They got P.J. Tucker. The Bucks re-signed Bobby Portis, given some of the other contracts out there. Portis, 4 years, $49 million. What a steal. Anthony Simons got a 4 year, $100 million contract. What is happening? Star of Tankapalooza, Anthony Simons. And they also got Joe Ingles coming off the injury previously with the Jazz. Did the Bucks win yesterday? Did the Bucks move the needle for you?
They stayed the same with getting Portis back. That was a big re-sign for them. The biggest winners for me yesterday, Gil, are the young players getting these gigantic supermax.
It's incredible.
Ja, Jokic getting the biggest contract in league history.
Yeah, but those you understand.
Of course, Karl Anthony Towns Booker, but still, that's a big deal for those guys. No one really moves the needle from a betting perspective. This is
not even the Bucks.
They were to me the team that I would, if you make me pick today, I would be picking them to win the title next year, and I would have done that even before this all started. So that didn't really change much. All this is really on hold until we see where Durant goes for me.
Anthony Simons, 4 years, $100 million. How about the Knicks? I get it. Jalen Brunson had this great postseason with the Mavericks, especially in Luka's absence. But do you find their obsession with him and the four-year, $100 million-plus deal that he got a little over the top?
It just better not be their last move, that's all.
I mean, he deserved it, right? He played great, but like, not that the Nets would have traded Durant to them anyway. But the notion that that wasn't even on the radar. We must get Jalen Brunson. And then how about, because I was on a radio in D.C. with Reese Waters a few days back, and he asked me about Bradley Beal and the Wizards. And he was like, should they sign him to the Supermax, Bradley Beal? And my comment to him as someone who has left D.C., Maryland, Virginia, was like, I'll tell you what the sort of conventional wisdom is outside of the Beltway, which is, what does it say about Bradley Beal, who by all accounts is a great dude, obviously a great player, who just is willing to play on a team in oblivion for his entire career? I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask. Bradley Beal signs the Supermax with the Washington Wizards, and so, awesome. Great. I mean, the Wizards, would you pick them to make the playoffs at this? I mean, play-in max, right?
Probably. Maybe an 8 seed.
Maybe. I mean, they got players. That's, by the way, they have a luxury tax. Just want to say that about the Wizards. So there's a lot of teams that are like well below it and suck. The Wizards suck and have to pay a tax. What does that say about that franchise? It's just the Wizards. Anyway, stepchild of the NBA. I don't know. Bucks, good deal yesterday with Portis and Ingles. We'll see where KD goes. But as I said earlier, Suns and Heat, hardly a slam dunk. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Major League Baseball next.